Good morning. I call this meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee to order, and I note for the record that a quorum is present. And so we have one bill up today, which is Senate File 4027, Senate File 4027. And so Representative Knorr. All right, good morning. So I move, or Representative Knorr moves that Senate File 4027 be placed on the General Register. We're also moving the A24-0354 amendment. So Representative Knorr moves the Delete Everything amendment coded A24-0354. So please explain your amendment, Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members. It's good to be in the, maybe the final week.
Don't count on it.
Well, I've already jinxed it. Anyway, Madam Chair and members, this is the Rideshare Drivers Fund Program. This bill establishes Rideshare Drivers Fund Program through the Department of Employment and Economic Development. It appropriates $2 million. From the Workforce Development Fund. This is one-time appropriation, which will be in a revolving loan. Madam Chair and members, the program requirement under this is to make sure that anyone who is a TNC driver, that is the Uber and Lyft drivers, who I'm sure you've heard a lot about them, this makes sure that they have some resources in case they need to buy a vehicle to do that type of business. It looks into their income. It should be below $80,000. To qualify for the program, and it also establishes some other guidelines within the bill. For example, the loan program will allow up to $15,000 for all vehicles and up to $20,000 for wheelchair accessible van. This is a loan at 0% interest, and it requires the drivers to meet all the other requirements needed to own a vehicle. This fund will be run through the CDFI, which is community-based organizations, as a partnership with the Department of Employment and Economic Development. Madam Chair and members, simply this, that's the bill, and it's going to be in a revolving loan. And also it allows the commissioner to accept gifts and contribution in kind as a exempt funding if anyone wants to contribute to that fund program.
Thank you, Representative Knorr. And I did check with House Fiscal, and this did not need a fiscal note because all it is a direct appropriation is the only funding piece of it. So just wanted to note that. And discussion. Representative Akam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Chair Knorr, for this bill. And I just really want to say thank you for having the extra funds for wheelchair accessible vehicles. My husband is in a wheelchair, and so knowing often that it's challenging to get an Uber or some sort of a ride share kind of thing that is accommodating that. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So there's a lot of questions in this presentation that I'm not sure that we have answers for. First of all, do we have a list of these what's the term called? Local community economic development grantees institutions?
Representative Knorr.
Madam Chair, members, the CDFI is already registered with the Department of Employment and Economic Development. For example, for the Greater Minnesota Initiative Foundations are registered with the Department of Economic Development as CDFIs.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair. So it looks like these are zero interest loans, and these grantees are determining the parameters and the limits on what's going on with it. They're allowed to keep 10% of the cost, so I'm assuming that is above the $15,000. Question is also when a loan defaults, what happens to the asset, and what is flexible collateral requirements?
Representative Knorr.
Madam Chair, members, I think the flexible collateral in this sense is someone who may not have a good credit and someone who wants to be able to be employed to provide income to his household. So we are providing that flexibility to the CDFI and also to determine the parameters, the terms and rules and regulations of how that loan program will be administered will be established through the partnership with the CDFIs and the Department of Employment and Economic Development.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. And so wouldn't the vehicle be the bulk of the collateral? It seems that's where most loans for vehicles are, is the vehicle itself is collateral. And what happens to the asset if the individual fails to live up to the contract?
Representative Knorr.
Madam Chair, members, because I think there are two instances here. You need to purchase the vehicle. You may end up going through a loan program with the dealership, or you may spend your own money. So in a sense, I think part of the terms and regulations that will be established with the CDFIs, they may be able to include that as the collateral. So in this bill, we're not including, because there may be different ways to acquire that vehicle.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, but I still didn't hear what happens to whatever collateral is available if the loan is not paid off.
Representative Knorr.
Madam Chair, members, I think as I stated, the terms that will be stipulated by the CDFI will include how that money will be recouped in case someone does not pay, even if it's to repossess the vehicle, whatever terms that is going to be included in the application process when the funds are given to the driver.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. I'll turn my time over to others.
Representative Farr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Knorr, I was going to call this maybe a labor dispute. I don't think that's fair. It's because we're talking about independent contractors here. But is there any other place where deed directly appropriates money into a labor negotiation, independent contractor negotiations? Is there any other place that we would do this for any other independent contractors in the state?
Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. We do have a lot of funds that go through the Department of Employment and Economic Development. This is not the only one. And in this bill, there is nothing about labor issues in this bill.
Representative Farr.
No, understood. No issues, no labor issues discussed in this bill, but we're all here because there are concerns and issues. Or the bill, I assume, is here because there are concerns and issues. So, just one other example then, Representative Knorr, where deed gets involved in independent contractors and directly appropriating money to independent contractors.
Representative Knorr.
Madam Chair, members, I think if you look at the SELF program, I believe that's the term used, it's meant for people who are going to become independent contractors, self-employed, using the Workforce Development Fund.
Representative Farr.
That's it, Madam Chair.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So if we're going to be taking $2 million out of the Workforce Development Fund, what's the balance left?
I can go to Representative Knorr. I will say, too, it still fits within the workforce development target that we did set in this committee. But Representative Knorr can maybe speak to the broader Workforce Development Fund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, I think I don't have the exact numbers because there was already a bill that allocated some of the Workforce Development Fund. Maybe the nonpartisan staff can help us because there was another bill that was we appropriated $17 million, and I don't think they're spending that whole amount.
Ms. Adrian.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Rarick. So Representative Knorr is correct that the jobs bill is appropriating some money from the Workforce Development Fund, but it's well underneath the target that was set in the budget resolution. So that was $17 million. They're going at about $12 million. This would be $2 million, and I believe there's about $80 million as a balance in the Workforce Development Fund.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I don't know that we've talked so much about the remaining balance, so I knew about the target, but I didn't know what the balance was, so thank you for that. Representative Knorr, I'm wondering, so we talked a little bit about what happens at default. So if somebody doesn't pay back this revolving fund loan, who gets priority? So you had said that either the person had paid out of their own funds personally to purchase the vehicle, which I find curious because you've got an income may not exceed $80,000, so that's in it probably unlikely. But more likely would be if a bank would be, the majority of the loan. And so, who gets priority if there's a default?
Representative Nor.
Madam Chair and members, if you look at line 1.22, agrees to any other time set by the lender, those, that section will include everything to address the issue that you have just mentioned in terms of who gets to keep what. Because if there is someone who took a loan from a bank or they took a loan from the dealership, there are terms that they have to meet. So I think there's always the primary, and we may become the secondary. So in this instance, I'm assuming the lender will put this as a secondary rather than the primary.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, too, because I can't imagine a bank saying, oh, yeah, you know what, you keep the car, state of Minnesota. So what is the recourse then to kind of, I'm going to say clawback, but to get back those funds that have been expended, because it's a revolving loan fund. So those funds need to come back in and be paid back. So what is the recourse, since we're not going to get the vehicle back in probably most of the instances, because I'm sure the bank or the dealership, which is going to go to a bank, doing the loan are going to get that vehicle back. So how do we get the funds back if they default?
Madam Chair,
Representative Nor.
Those are the terms that the lender will have to put in writing to make sure that they agreed to between the TNC driver and the lender who's going to be providing the loan to that individual. We do have various programs similar to this, which we also don't put a significant collateral in that process because of that issue. We let the lenders determine how to claw back or receive the funds that they've spent to make sure that we have more money coming back to the revolving loan.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So let's talk about some of those other programs that you've got that use Workforce Development Fund or similar programs. Do you happen to know, like, maybe what's that default rate?
Representative Nor.
Madam Chair and members, I don't have that number. Maybe I can get it to you. For example, we have the Entrepreneur Fund. We have the Emerging Developer Funds that through the Department of Employment and Economic Development, so I can request numbers and send it to you.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you. No, I didn't expect you to have it off the top of your head, but we should have that conversation. And since I'm assuming this is not going to go back to a policy committee to kind of vet this out. This is probably the only committee, as we've seen repeatedly through this session. So we're kind of it. So I don't know how many issue area experts we've got on our side in this. We've got a banker, so that's super helpful. But so this is sort of it. So I'm trying to get to what happens when we get to default. And do you have any idea what kind of default rate we can expect with this particular fund?
Representative Nor.
Madam Chair, members, I cannot speculate what will be the default rate because we don't have this program running yet.
Representative Rarick.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, and that's sort of what I was getting at is if we've looked at, you had said we've done this before, that the Workforce Development Fund has been used for such things, it'd be important to know sort of what is the default rate. So, and maybe it's very low. I don't know. We simply don't know. I think that could be an issue here is, especially when you're talking about income that doesn't exceed $80,000. And also, you know, I had read an article, I think it was in the Reformer, that talked about one of the Uber or Lyft drivers that bought a $64,000 vehicle. And I'm, you know, it's just an example. So that's a big loan, $64,000, just as an example. And they can, what, they can get up between $15,000? Trying to remember if it was 10 or 15, but it's much smaller. It's a much smaller amount than what the total will be. So this is a real concern is if we already have an income cap of 80,000 and they're buying a vehicle that's, you know, I just bought a new vehicle and it was over 30,000. And most vehicles are, if they're brand new, which they're going to be probably doing, is going to be over 30,000. So that's a lot. And if this is for sure less than half of that, at the best case scenario, then somebody else has got to come up with the other half. So my concern is if they are not the first priority, if the state of Minnesota is not the first priority on the lien, we're not going to get the vehicle back, but there's going to be some sort of collateral. Don't know really what it is. We don't know what the default rate is when we do this in other situations. I have some really, really big concerns about creating this when we don't know very much, and it sounds like the state of Minnesota and the taxpayers and actually the businesses that pay into Workforce Development Fund could be left with not a whole lot. I don't, you know, I have no idea. We have no idea what's going to happen, right? So we've got a lot of unknowns. I think it's very plausible that the $2 million could be all loaned out and not sure that we're going to get a whole lot of it back. I have no idea because we have no data in front of us to make any assumptions or predictions because we know absolutely nothing about any other program. We don't know what this potential default rate is going to be. We have no idea what the default rate is currently in programs like this. So I have really big concerns about this. I'm not sure that we're ready to do this. And if this is the linchpin that fixes the Uber Lyft issue, I don't know. I mean, is that why we're doing this, Representative Knorr?
Representative Knorr.
Madam Chair, members, that's not the reason why we're doing this, but at least this is more to allow those who have been coming to us and say, we need a good system, a good transportation system, ecosystem for our state. And in fact, if you look at the way we set this program, Uber, Lyft, they can contribute to this program. We're giving them that option, and I think some of them are thinking how they can contribute funds to this similar project so that their drivers can access vehicles to do the transportation.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you. I wasn't going to continue, Madam Chair, but okay. So we're doing this in the 11th hour. It's not going through the proper policy committees to look at policy. We don't know the default rate of any other program that you're referencing. This is not going to be first priority. We don't know what the collateral is going to be. We don't know what we're going to be doing to try to claw that money back. And this is not part of the global deal to keep Uber Lyft here. Why are we doing this today then? Because this is literally 11th hour. We were supposed to be done with Ways and Means two or three meetings ago. So I don't understand if this has nothing to do with the Uber Lyft deal, that this is irrelevant to that. Why are we doing this today?
Do you want to answer that, Representative Knorr?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we've got work to do, and it's part of our job process to come and do this process. And I think at one point I had someone in this room say that the chair for Ways and Means was the Uber chair. So that was a long time ago. But I think the point that I'm trying to make here is we are the final place that we can do this work. And I think we can get it done through this process to make sure we explain what is in the bill and send it back to the General Register.
Representative Rarick.
Well, Madam Chair, I don't know why we're doing this. Literally, we have today and tomorrow left of session. We have to be done tomorrow by midnight. And if this has nothing to do with the Uber Lyft deal to keep them here in Minnesota, because they have said emphatically that they are going to be leaving Minnesota if the conditions are the same, we are 2% of their market, 2%. For Uber Lyft. So I don't think they have a tremendous amount of interest. And if this has nothing to do with the global deal, I have no idea why we're even doing this today. So I'm a no on this because I have no idea what we're doing here.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Microphone issues. Question for either nonpartisan staff or the author. So when I was mayor, we had a revolving loan fund. Is there any part of this that is forgivable once they've achieved a certain payment level back to the revolving loan fund?
Representative Knorr.
Madam Chair, members, there's nothing in this bill that says that it's forgivable at certain times. So this is a loan program, which is at 0% interest.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Next question is, what is the percent of grant oversight management that DEED is going to peel off to administer this? Typically, I believe it's 5 to 10, depending on the types of grant programs. So if you could help us with that as well.
Yeah, Representative Nash, it's in the bill, but I'll go to Representative Knorr for that.
Sometimes we don't see things until it when it comes out real late.
Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The percentage is 10% in this bill.
Okay.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So next question is this designed for any TNC? Because after the lack of a global agreement gets passed and there's nothing there, Uber and Lyft are leaving. So does this allow the new upstarts that we see on the news? Is this going to be available for their drivers?
Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is meant for drivers who have who have been in the system. It doesn't give to somebody who just wants to jump in and say, I want to do TNC. So this is particularly funded for those who are already doing the work as rideshare drivers.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And that's the crux, is that without a global agreement, without a fix, Uber and Lyft has already said they're going to be gone. So that means then that this bill will not be available for the new TNC drivers, because there's a couple of different apps that have popped up with the threat of Uber and Lyft leaving. And I'm just wondering, are those new apps going to be considered in the system so that they can access this?
Representative Knorr.
Madam Chair and members, if you are a TNC driver, you work for every entity that is providing services to that area. So if it's Uber, if it's Lyft, if it's anything, this does not, it's not attached to any TNC company.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And then I'm just going to echo what Representative Rarick said. It's strange that it's coming out of the Workforce Development Fund that is paid for by that's the contributions go in from businesses, and it seems very counterintuitive for this. I did want to come back to the conversation around the default, because we didn't really get a lot of answers there, and I understand that it hasn't happened, but I would have to think that the author has modeled or at least thrown out there some ideas as to the relative default rate, because in any economic pillar that you look at, there are defaults for various reasons. Something happens with a family member and things go sideways. I'm just trying to figure out what level of default does this program have to go through before there's another call on the Workforce Development Fund to put more money in? Because if you have suddenly a rash of defaults and they're not paying back into the revolving loan fund, then your fund is empty. So if the author would.
Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's why we have the provisions here. This is one-time only fund whereby the account will be able to accept gifts, contributions, or other in-kind services to that account. If it ends, that means there will be no resources for the loan program to continue to fund the driver. So this is only one-time only appropriation meant to for the purpose of the rideshare driver program.
Representative Nash.
Well, I guess we'll have a more thorough conversation on the floor, but maybe I didn't read this, but are you giving incentives? And I saw you gave an incentive for wheelchair accessible. Are you giving incentives for electric vehicles as well?
Representative North.
Madam Chair and members, there's nothing in this bill that stipulates electric vehicle.
Representative Nash.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make sure, because, you know, we apparently all love our electric vehicles, but not enough to appropriate some money for it. So thank you.
That's in a different bill. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I thought I was ahead of Representative Nash, who I thought was going to close up for us. But I do have a couple questions I forgot to ask when I was in talking about. This really refers to the qualifying requirements of the driver. And on 1.15, it says that they had to be a TNC driver for at least 1 year, indicating that they already have a vehicle, which means then that this really is loans for replacement vehicles. And so I just want to make sure we're clear about that this is for replacement vehicles, I'm assuming when they wear out or whatever. But my real questions come from 1.18 down to 1.20, when it talks about requiring legally required insurance, including liability, as well as verification on keeping the registration current. Two questions. One is, I'm assuming that legally required liability insurance would be at the same level that all commercial passenger vehicles have. And you can answer that question. But my other question is, who's going to be verifying that this is actually going to happen?
Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. All this will be processed by the lender. So the lender will put all those things into the terms to verify when they give the funds to. As you recall, it's a replacement because they drive a lot, and somebody has to demonstrate they're able to pay, which is actually on line 1.17. having that history that this person has been doing this work, they're able to pay the funds, you will be able to provide them the loan based on that. So that means we've already had some few things that we require them, and if you're going to become a TNC driver, there are required insurances which the owner of the vehicle will have to purchase as on their personal, and then they may also buy other endorsement or other things to make sure that they're able to secure the appropriate insurance.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so I just want to make sure we get on record that we are anticipating and we are expecting that this would be the same liability for all commercial passenger carriers, because I think that's important to protect those that are riding in it. My final question is just one of implementation. Mr. Chair, do you have an idea about how long it's going to take to get this implemented and put into place? Because some of these new programs take a while. I'm sure somebody needs to vet out the companies giving away the money and what the parameters are, because it says in here that the parameters for the loan have to be agreed to by the commissioner, and then the funding has to be available and implemented and processed for the forms and other stuff to verify everything. It's going to take some time. Do you have an idea how long it's going to take to implement?
Representative Knorr.
Madam Chair, members, the commissioner will determine the time frame. Once they establish partnership with the CDFI, they'll be able to identify the process going forward. So I'm anticipating that it will take a short time period, because this is direct appropriation creating the revolving loan. And once they have the RFP set and they've chosen an entity that will be running under CDFIs, this will be able to be put in place quickly.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. I guess I had made the expectation, at least, that you've contacted the commissioner and the department and gotten some sort of parameters of what they thought would take to do that. Is that not the case?
Representative Knorr.
Madam Chair, members, I did connect with the department to make sure that we have got appropriate language and ready to go, because once we pass the bill, that becomes the effective timeline that they'll be putting together. So they have done similar projects, and they also have CDFIs already registered with the department, so I'm anticipating it's going to follow the same procedure that they have.
Anything further, Representative Petersburg?
Thank you.
Representative Novotny.
Thank you, Chair. And I don't know if it's a question, more of a statement, but I really think we should have had a financial or a fiscal note on this, because no matter how many times we say it's a one-time funding, based on the past, and I think the past is the best predictor of the future, I think this is going to be an ongoing thing. There will be tails in this, because with everything else that the state has socialized, it ends up costing more in the end. So, the fiscal note should be there, because based on everything else, just earlier this week, we had the socialized paid family medical leave, and a year ago, they said they had enough funding and that was fine, and then come back and tell us less than a year later that they need a 25% increase that they said wouldn't be a problem. If we look at socialized daycare, now we have to fix, the government has to have a solution to their fixing daycare by socializing it. We have to fix medicine because we're socializing medicine, and then we have to have a government solution for socialized medicine. Light rail, we're more than twice the multi-billion dollar project to go 12 miles on a bus line that was established and financially stable. And I guess I'll have a question at the end, but briefly, Representative Nash, Representative Rarick, I believe the answer to the question you guys had is why we're here, it's leverage. So, Representative Knorr, my question will be for you. Will you absolutely commit that in less than a year we won't be back in this same Ways and Means Committee and we won't be adding more money to this program?
Representative Novotny, a couple of things here before. This is like, you can state your opinion on if a bill needs a fiscal note or not, but this is a $2 million appropriation in the year 2025. That is what it is. It is the prerogative of the legislature to come back at any time and introduce a bill to continue to appropriate. This is a very different situation than anything else you named, and that's fine to have your opinion, but I just want to state that this is a situation where it is exactly what it is here. I have talked to House Fiscal staff. You see, it is just a $2 million appropriation in 2025. That is what it is. In terms of Representative Knorr's intent or, you know, his motives or whatever, I will leave it up to him on how he would like to handle that. Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think you've stated what I was going to say. But I think what I've seen from my colleagues on the other side, they were all wearing something says, keep Uber and Lyft. This is keeping Uber and Lyft in the state of Minnesota. This is supporting the drivers. This is not supporting the multinational companies who are making a lot of money. This is for those drivers who are committed, waking up every single day to provide the service to those who need in the state of Minnesota.
And I will now just say any further discussion to the A24 amendment before we move to adoption. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails and the A24-0354 amendment has been adopted. Final discussion to the bill. Lead Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Knorr. Representative Knorr, 65 days ago, the Minneapolis City Council made a poor public policy decision and they overrode Mayor Fry's veto of the rideshare ordinance. Since that moment, I think all of us have known that the legislature is going to have to take action on this, and that action is going to have to be bipartisan and bicameral. So while I disagree with the substance of that is in your bill, I do support the effort that the majority is moving forward, another tool that we can help reach agreement on that, again, will need to be bipartisan and bicameral. So I'll be voting no today on this, but I do look forward to further conversations on this. Thank you.
Further discussion to the bill. Representative Knorr, final words.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's a good bill. Please vote yes.
Thank you. With that, I renew my motion that Senate file 4027, as amended, be placed on the general register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails, and Senate file 4027 has been placed on the general register. I forgot to move the minutes. Don't go anywhere. So can I get a motion, Vice Chair Edelson, for approval of the minutes from Friday, May 17, 2024?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails and the minutes have been adopted. And we're going to stand in recess. Because I needed to have one last meeting because look at this gem of what I found when I found in my office. Please pass it around for the committees.
Video of the Taiwanese parliament where the guy ran up and grabbed the actual bill and ran out of the chamber.
No.
What I'm doing with this.
So I just couldn't say goodbye to Lead Garofalo. And so we had to continue to keep this meeting open. And so with that, we are in recess.